Yes, hello everybody. My name is Master Chris Burla. We have a martial arts organization out in New York, and we have about six schools to our organization, United Martial Arts Centers. And I have been running summer camps for over 9 years, and personally. And before that, I also worked in the summer camp where I taught many years ago. So pretty much I have about 15 years of summer camp experience. My personal summer camp, I started off with running a couple of one-week summer camps just to kind of supplement my income on the slow time of the summer. And there was a great response for a new school, and we went with it and worked very well. Then shortly after that, maybe 2001, we had partnered up, myself, Master Joe Bedini, Master Ed Cherifella, Master Paul Malella, all teamed up and formed our organization of United Martial Arts Centers. And then we made an organizational decision to take our summer camp and after-school program to the next level. And we'll go later on in the conversation, you'll understand exactly how related they are. But the first thing what happened in our summer camp is we started off with all of us had very small summer camps, maybe 20 students, 30 students. And from there, the popularity has increased and the excitement has increased and our skills at running them have increased. And at this point, we're running summer camps with over 100 students per week for the summer. And we run eight-week summer camps, and typically they'll start off right as soon as school ends. And then they'll run 8 weeks from there. In the beginning, we ran 9 and 10 week summer camps, but then found out our staff was a little bit burnt out by the time we were done. So we made a decision to run an 8 week summer camp. Sometimes we'll take a break before the summer camp, and sometimes we'll take a break after. So it's a wonderful, wonderful program that can really enhance many aspects of your martial arts school. A lot of us have a desire to do so, and you're like at the edge of do we do it or don't do it, it's too much work, and a lot of times we end up talking ourselves out of running that summer camp. Well, I wouldn't do it any other way. Summer camp is a very, very crucial part of our program, and we're going to go over right now seven reasons why you should definitely, definitely host that camp that you may have always thought about doing. The first thing that I think everybody's probably really wondering about is the income. Well, yes, in a time when most schools have their downtime, their lowest point, at UMAC, we have some of our most profitable times of the year. Our summer camp, again, and I want you to work the numbers yourself of what you potentially could do, our summer camp could bring anywhere in, you know, on a smaller scale from $10,000 to $40,000, $30,000, you know, in 2-3 weeks' time. And to put it into perspective for everybody, you know, right now we're charging $300 per week for the summer camp. Now it's $300 per student per week. So if we have 20 summer campers, which we really never have 20 summer campers, we always have a lot more, 20 summer campers at $300 per week, you know, you do the math, we're talking $6,000 per week. You do that for 4 weeks or a month, we're talking, what, $24,000 in a month. You do that for the 2 months of the summer, it's almost $50,000, not including special events, not including those graduations or championships you may host throughout equipment sales or however you would like to work it. Now, that's just 20 summer campers. Now, let's say you had 50 summer campers, which is a nice size. It's manageable, a nice size camp. 50 summer campers is going to bring you, what, $15,000 per week. $15,000 times 4 is what, $60,000 per month, times that two, you have $120,000 summer. Now, is it work? Absolutely. But there's more benefits that we get to discuss. So that right there, everybody, you know, should be incentive enough. You know, when's the last time you've made $120,000 in the summertime. You know, I've heard stories of schools closing down their program in the summer because, you know, number one, it's easier, and it's a slow time, everybody's away, they make all these excuses. Well, everybody knows that the children need to be in a place. So there you go right there. Now, the next thing I wanted to bring up is the impact on the students. Now, we're used to working with the students for one class at a time. And we have the students, you know, let's say they come to a 4:30 class, 4:30 to 5:30. You see them two times a week, three times a week. And you're able to have a really good impact on them in that time through your martial arts program. However, you really, truly do not know how those children are acting when they're in their social situations. You don't know how they relate to other children. You don't know how they're doing at home. You try to have programs and center programs to get a good understanding from the parents and the teachers and so on, but you really, really don't know. I love the summer camp because you're with them for 6 or 7 or 8 hours, or, you know, depending how long you offer it. But you're with them for that point, or your staff is with them. They're in your martial arts environment. They're in that positive environment. And you get to see if they're putting the martial arts philosophies into action outside of the structured situations. Because in a summer camp, you're going to have game time. You're going to have quiet time. You're going to have, you know, outdoor time. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. You're going to have this. You could see if they're showing that self-control that you talk about in class. You could see if they're upholding the respect values. You can see, and Master Malala in his summer camp even teaches the students how to fold their clothes. I mean, you get to see if they're putting all these things into action in their personal lives. Where else would you be able to do that? So the impact you have on those students is tremendous, tremendous, and a lot more than you would if they're just coming into the school for regular classes. Another benefit with the impact of the students is you get to develop certain themes and concepts that you really, really want to hone in on. So, for example, let's say you're finding that a lot of students are lacking the kind of respect that you would like to have in your center. Well, could you imagine reinforcing that and having that opportunity to reinforce that for a whole week, 8 hours a day, and not the whole time, of course, but throughout that day, giving them little golden nuggets to focus on that kind of respect, giving them that kind of reinforcement, the developments that you can, the concepts and the martial arts principles you can develop is out of control. And you get to hone in on the character traits that you want your school. You get to form your school however you want it to be through your summer camp. Another great impact on the students is, my goodness, the quality of technique that you're able to teach them. And again, don't think that you have to run 8 hours straight of martial arts training. That would burn you out. That would burn everybody out. The students wouldn't be able to lift their legs the next day. But you know, throughout, you know, we train in our summer camps typically two classes a day, a morning class, which we usually do an extended class because they're so fired up. It's the morning, fresh new day. And then a smaller afternoon class that really reinforces what we focused on in the morning. So there are such a great impact that you have on these students between developing the character aspects of the martial arts, focusing on what you want the students to focus on for extended periods, and developing their character traits and the quality of technique. So it's definitely that is the top two reason to host your summer camp. So number one was income, because it does bring you past that summertime blues, and number two is the impact you have on the students. Now this one, the next one, is looking into the future, and is another whole different conversation in the seminar. However, it's for setting up for a future after-school program. And I'm sure that everybody here who's on this call has thought about running an after-school program. After-school program literally doubles your income. And after-school program, you're providing a service for the families of your school. You're giving them a safe place to be after school while teaching them the martial arts values. It's a very important program. That summer camp is a feeder for that program. In fact, when we first started our summer camp after school program, we had 20 students in our summer camp for that very first year. We're talking 9 years ago. And then half of them went into the after school program. So we have a summer camp. And then because the parents saw such a great value, they saw such great interest in the program, the children were getting such great benefit, having fun, you know, developing those martial arts principles, they were like, it's a no-brainer. We're going to go right into the after-school program. So the future potential of the income and impact that you have, you could get them all throughout the year. And then to add even an additional incentive to that, the income that you make, you know, some of the summer campers, you give them a special rate if they go through the whole year after school program summer camp. So it's another avenue to encourage them to do both of those programs. So for those interested in an after school program, your time to make that happen is through your summer camp, because then you already have a core group to promote that program to. If you don't do it, it's a little bit harder. So that summer camp rolls right in to that after-school program, okay? So number one, we had the income. Number two, we had the impact on the students. Number three, we had setting up for a future after-school program. And number four is a community service. Like I said earlier, you know, your students need to be at a certain place. They have to be somewhere. And if they're not going to be with you, they're going to be at some kind of other summer camp down the road. They could be at Kitty Care summer camp, Uncle Bob's summer camp, whatever. You know, there's summer camps all over the place. But don't you think your families would appreciate their children being in a summer camp that's promoting the values that you teach? So take this as an opportunity. Look at this as an opportunity. You know, have the confidence to do it, right? Your parents love your program. They trust you. You're wonderful with the children. The tools that you want to do to run the summer camp is going to happen. We'll show you how to do that. But the community service that you're providing for your families is going to be tremendous. And again, you have already earned their respect. They're enrolled students, right? Because that's where you're going to get most of your students for the summer camp. They're already enrolled in your program. You know, follow that their enthusiasm and go through the summer. So it's a very, very, very important thing, which comes to our next thing, which is retention. Now, we always want to keep our students in the school for as long as we can. We always say, let's talk about closing that back door. Well, this is an incredible way to promote retention in your program. Again, you're offering a service that the parents need. See, when you run a summer camp and an after-school program, it becomes a need and not just a want. Right? People who come to an evening program in a martial arts school, they want to do it. They're enthused. They're excited. And, of course, the parents want them to do it. You have to have their whole team to support them. However, a lot of families need this service. They need an after-school program. They need that summer camp. They need a place for their children to be so they can work all day and pay for all the things that they have in their life, right? So, again, the retention that you're giving them by making them happy students, having them in that positive environment all day is tremendous. And then when the parents see the benefit that their children's getting on a continuous basis for an extended day like that, then they're going to become raving fans. What happens when you have raving fans? Well, then you get more students through referrals. So it's all, you know, it's a big circle here. So your community service you're providing them is also developing the retention of the students in your school. And a lot of time, just to even take that further, a lot of time in our summer camp and after school program that we've had in the past, because the parents don't get to be with their children all day, they want to share an experience together. So I've actually had students who would be in summer camp all day with us. The parents would come home from work, they'd pick them up, and they'd do a family class in the martial arts so they can do it together, and then they'd go home and do what they're going to do. So the children like that, their parents are training in three classes a day. You know, so it's the retention and the appreciation that you get from the parents is very, very important. Okay, now I don't know if this should be number six or number one, but the summer camp, as much as it is work, It's also a ton of fun. And I personally have three children. I have a 14-year-old, I have an 11-year-old, and I have an 8-year-old. So we're pretty busy. And two of my children attend the summer camp. One I send away to sleepaway camp. But for the ones that attend, I look at this as okay, my children are in this camp. What do I want to do for them to make their summer experience tremendous and exciting? So we take our camp on really fun field trips. We live close to New York City. We take them to New York City. It's there's a battleship. We go to a museum. We take them to the zoo. We take them to some water parks. And again, because they're my children, I want them to have the best summer that they can, as we treat our students sometimes as our own children, but these are really, really my children. I want it to be very exciting for them. Also, along with those field trips, we get to do extra activities with them. A lot of we like to take our students on hikes, and you would all be surprised on the lack of understanding that children have in the environment, or the lack of knowledge that they have. You would be so surprised on how many people do not get to experience the outdoors. So for an inexpensive field trip, every week we would take the students and do nature hikes, some challenging hikes, some easy hikes, but we would teach them about the environment, teach them to appreciate the environment and nature. So you have an opportunity to do that. But not only are you doing it with the students, you're doing it themselves. And you get to see them appreciate those most important things in our society, in our communities. And then, you're being responsible for the student's success for an extended amount of time. You know, what are the biggest benefits that we get as martial arts instructors? What is our biggest reward? Is our reward the amount of money we make? Well, I don't think so. Is our reward having more free time or whatever? You know, our reward is the student's success. That's what keeps me motivated personally, and I think that's what keeps all of us motivated. Because why else would you do it? When your students are successful, you are successful. And throughout a summer camp, I get excitement, I get enjoyment. I love it when I see my students become successful. Now at the level I am now, I do interact with my students a lot, but now I get to see my staff experiencing their students become successful. So it's such an amazing thing, and that for me is fun. Seeing children do things that they didn't think they can do, seeing them hike up that mountain where they didn't think they could do it, right? Showing that kind of perseverance and giving those real life situations, giving them that kind of confidence, I mean, that to me is super, super exciting. So fun, you have field trips, extra activities, being responsible for student success. You also, you can use get your creative juices flying like crazy by just doing whatever you want. I mean, you could have the arts and crafts that you get to do with the students that they get to do. You could post the things on the wall and just create such a great excitement within the school. So that's another wonderful, wonderful aspect of our summer camp. And number seven, so we went from income to impact on the students to setting up for a future after school program, the community service we provide to the students, the retention of having happy students, which in turn is happy parents, the amount of fun that it is to operate that summer camp. Another thing with the fun is that the relationships that your staff develops amongst each other also is wonderful. The staff at my location have found their best friends because they spend like summers together, and you see it all the time in the movies and everything, summer camp stories. But the staff that they do, they have these long-lasting relationships that go on beyond our martial arts school. So I think that also is so exciting to see, because you know that when you're a teenager in your school develops a relationship with another teenager, you're going to have those guys for a lot longer than if they felt like they were alone. So that's another benefit and fun factor for that, because they have a lot of fun too. Now, the last one is from Master Bedini recommended this one. I thought it was wonderful, is diversification of income. And when I first heard that, I was like, oh, my goodness, I didn't know what he was talking about. But then when he explained it to me, it made a lot of sense. We are all currently getting our income stream from a particular source, and that is through our evening students. However, wouldn't it be great to open up almost like a whole nother market and broaden your market to people who need this service in the community? So now, where people didn't think they would ever be able to train in the martial arts, you're now giving them an opportunity, and you're tapping in beyond your current student base. So you're actually expanding your opportunities to make more money and have a greater income with that. So that's a very, very important note that you have to go. So now you're pulling your income from all different sources rather than just the one that you've been doing. So we have definitely talked a lot, and you're probably a lot of things are going through your head. Wow, these are really good reasons why you should run this summer camp. Now, how do you do it? Right? I mean, there's a lot of information here. What we are going to do, myself and the other, you know, United Martial Arts Center's masters, Master Fellow, Master Bedini, and Master Malala, have created an opportunity to host a really detailed seminar on how to run a summer camp. And in that seminar, it's going to be extremely, extremely comprehensive. And we're going to go over topics such as we're going to go over, number one, how to organize your summer camp. Because it's not something you can say, okay, I want to do a summer camp and start it next week. You know, how do you organize it? What do you have to do? A couple of our locations, including myself, are actually registered with the local Board of Health or Health Department. And some of you may have to do that, some of you may not. You know, we have all of that information about what you need to do and how you would be able to apply that. How to market your summer camp is another topic. We have many, many, many ways and methods to market the summer camp. Some, you know, are absolutely no cost to you. You know, maybe printing up flyers and so on. So we're going to spend a good amount of time at that at the seminar. What are the administrative procedures and how to enroll those campers, how to keep them going, the phone call procedure. So all the operational systems to run that summer camp and to enroll into the summer camp is going to be covered. How to set up transportation and the field trips, how to select camp themes, games, and activities for your campers, and the staffing requirements that you should have, and along with the day-to-day operations of that summer camp. So we're going to go over all of those details to really, really step-by-step show you everything you need to do to hold that summer camp. And we're going to be doing that in one of our locations, our Carmel location, and Master Malala, whose location that is, has his own facility, his own building. And you'll also be able to see how the after-school program operates, too. So it really will be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to take these seven reasons why you should run a summer camp and actually put them into action and show you exactly what to do. Another thing we're going to talk about the seminar, and I'll wrap up with this, is also having the mindset and the belief. You know, it is so easy to talk yourselves out of doing it. No kidding. It is harder to operate that summer camp. You will work a little bit harder that summer, but we're going to help you work smarter than harder, though. You know, a lot of people, there's a fear factor. Like, what do you do with the children for 8 hours? You may think, sometimes I have hard time to figure out what to do with them for 45 minutes or an hour, but what do I do with them for 8 hours? And that was my initial thought, too. But then when you have an itinerary, a detailed itinerary of what you want the children to do at a given time, they follow it. And then you're like, wow, I need more time in a day to do the things you want to do. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And then, you know, our mentor, Grandmaster Kim, says the five P's, prior planning prevents poor performance. You just have to plan ahead. And your first step is attending that seminar. Now, I want to quickly review what we had talked about, And then I would love to answer any questions that any of you may have for me, whether it be on the web or in person. Number one, again, is, you know, number one is the income. You know, you have to think about your slowest time of the year could be your most profitable time. So just realize, you know, you work the numbers. Let's say you charge $200 per week for summer camp. I mean, still, you have 25 students at $200 a week. You know, what is that, $5,000 a week? I mean, it really is something that you have to do. And I hope my math is right, everybody. Impact on the students, you know, that you have. You know they're with you with that martial arts philosophy for an extended period of time. So you're going to have that greater impact. Setting up for your after-school program, well, this is your ticket. You, again, same thing. You may be saying, well, I don't know how to do an after-school program, this, that, this. Well, if you make the decision to have it, you make the decision to host your summer camp, you will find that way. I guarantee that. The community service you're providing for your students and the retention, you know, they are going to be long-lasting students. Again, it's not just a want. The parents don't just want them there. They're going to need them there and want them there at the same time. And it is fun, the interaction you have with the students, the trips you get to go on, seeing, you know, when I see students just having fun together in the environment that I provided, it's a great feeling. And lastly, diversification of income, you know, tapping into other sources to generate income that have not been tapped into yet. So make that decision, everybody. It's something that many schools are doing it. We have an incredible system. We would love to help you any way we can, you know, be successful and start up and get going on a successful summer camp. But the first thing it's going to have to be with you, you have to believe that you can do it, you have to have the desire to do it, and you have to make the decision to do it.
Adolfo from Driggs, Idaho, says he's opening an after-school program before he offers summer camp. And
okay.
He wants to know, what should he keep in mind? Should the summer camp be a different entity, such as an LLC or an S-Corp? And do you have any suggestions for liability coverage?
Okay, both great, great questions. I would definitely, I'm trying to think of what we do here with that. Mass Chair Fellow usually gives us our recommendation. We run with it. We have, as far as the after-school program and summer camp, I do not have a separate corporation for that. I do it in my hosting corporation for my business. But what we have done is we opened a separate corporation for the transportation because that hosted, we felt that, and our attorney felt that that was the biggest liability when it came to transporting the children. So we have a holding corporation for our transportation because we do transport the children throughout the summer and with our after-school program. So that would be my recommendation, but I would definitely consult an attorney about that. And by all means, I'm definitely not an attorney. As far as starting an after-school program first and going to summer camp, I think that that's wonderful. And that after-school program, if you have some after-school program students, that will feed right away into your summer camp. So you should definitely start promoting that summer camp through the after-school students.
Okay, great.
Hopefully I answered your question.
I think you did. I'm pretty
great.
Sure. If not, he'll let us know.
Okay, great.
We have Floyd Kish from Slippery Rock, and he wants to know, do you run your normal classes in the evening as well as camp, or do your camps replace the evening classes? That's his first question.
All right. We actually run a modified schedule in the summer. We found that hosting our regular schedule that we do throughout the year, there were two small classes because a lot of people are away for the summer. So what we do is we run a modified schedule. We'll have our summer camp go up to like 5:30, 6 o'clock, and then we'll host two or three classes after that. So we will definitely run our evening program, but we will modify the schedule to make it a little bit lighter. We also have we get a different staff member to run the evening program. This way it's not too much of a strain, but for what I did in the beginning, I ran the summer camp and the evening classes. you know, you do what you have to do to be successful. But I would definitely not close out your evening program.
Okay, great. Now, he's got two other questions that are sort of related to each other.
Sure.
One is, does your staff have a student-to-teacher ratio for camp? And can one or two people run a 20-person camp by themselves, pretty much, just one or two people?
All right, that's both great questions. As far as the staff-to-student ratio, there are standards that we have to go by because we register our camp with the county, you know, with the local, the Westchester County Health Department. So depending on the age is what typically it's, I think it's an 11-to-1 ratio that we're mandated to have. If you have children that are 5 and under, it's a 6-to-1 ratio. If you have children with special needs, it's even a lower ratio. But typically we go from 6 years up through 13, and it's an 11-to-1 ratio, 10 or 11-to-1 ratio. So with that said, you have a 20-student camp. I would definitely recommend two people. You should definitely have two people, and one of them should be CPR first aid certified, but you definitely should have two people at all times, because if there's an emergency or a situation, you need to have somebody be able to monitor the children while the other one takes care of the situation.
That's a great point.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Let's see. There's another question from Dale in Reynoldsburg. What is a typical day in summer camp from start to finish?
Wow, you have to come to the seminar there, Dale. you know, I can give you a really, really quick synopsis about it. But what typically what will happen is the students will come in and we provide a service from 7:30 to 9:30, and they'll basically come in and just watch a movie. You know, while they're getting dropped off, everybody gets together. They get changed to class, and we'll run class from 10 o'clock till about 11:30 in the morning. I'm going to say this as a non-field trip day, 10 o'clock to about 11:30, because they really get fired up in the morning, and we make it fun and exciting for them. After that, 11:30 to 12, we let them wind down. They have their lunch. So then we're talking up to about 12:30. They've had their break. We like to give them an opportunity for have some reading time. So right after lunch, they'll maybe spend 20 minutes to a half hour and have reading time. Again, parents love that. Sometimes the children love it, but it also sometimes not so much, but it gives them an opportunity to do their summer reading and stuff that they have to do. Then after that, we always do a physical fun activity, and the activity could range from, it could be an indoor activity, it could be taking them to a park and letting them play on the playground. I mean, there's a whole range of activities. We spend a good hour and a half with those activities. They'll come back in. We'll focus on whatever theme we're working on, because typically if we're in school for that day, we have a common theme, whatever that day is. It could be Arts and Crafts Day, it could be Gladiator Day, it could be Harry Potter Day or something like that, where they'll do some kind of activity to focus on the theme, and then they'll have another martial arts class, and then they'll have quiet time until their parents pick them up. So everybody here, I'm sure, at one point in their life has seen the movie Sesame Street, and I like to go by the Sesame Street theory, where they don't focus on one thing for too long at a given time, because then it keeps the excitement all the time. So we bounce back and forth to different things quite often, every 45 minutes, hour, or half hour, just to keep the students on their toes, keep them excited and having fun. On the day of a field trip, you know, depending on the length of the field trip, but we'll modify the schedule, whether we have class or where we go to the field trip and so on.
Okay, great.
So that was an express version.
That was good. That was
Thank
very
you.
Good. I didn't feel that express. Okay.
Okay, good.
Dwight from Miami. Hello, Dwight. He has a question. He wants to know, he said he has adult morning and afternoon classes Monday through Friday. How do we operate mini camps at the school? Do we have the students join in on those classes as part of their camp?
Great question. So you guys are doing wonderful out there. First answer is this. What you do is whenever you schedule the field trip, you know, providing you have the staff to do that, the students will go on the field trip while the instructor teaches those classes, especially the adult classes. That's what we have done in our locations. So this way the adults get their time, the kids are out doing their field trip and having fun. The other option is if you don't have that luxury, you could plan a quiet activity while the adults have their class, or you could have them go into class. But I think the best option is to, if you're going to do a summer camp, you have to have some field trips. Coordinate so that your field trips where the students are away are when you have those classes.
Okay, very good. Bart Gadowstick from Hillsboro, Oregon, wants to know if you can talk a little bit about transportation issues regarding taking campers on field trips. I know you made mention of it just a bit, but maybe a little bit more.
Okay, transportation, there's many ways to go about it. And again, we're going to go over this really detailed in that seminar on the 18th. But the transportation, first thing is you can hire an outside company. And we've done that in the past too, where we hired we had such a big summer camp, we couldn't transport them. So we hired the big long buses, the big school buses. They hold like 70 children at a time. And cost-wise, it was pretty expensive. But then you have all the kids centrally located, it's pretty easy. So that's one option that you can do depending on the size of your camp. Otherwise, we would run them in our vans. We have 15-passenger vans and mini school bus. So that's one option that you can do. You can get your own vans. I mean, and if you have a smaller budget, rather than getting a new van or a later model van, you could even go to the school districts and buy, because their school buses, their mini buses, are only good for so long and so many miles. They're perfectly good vehicles. They look good. They run good. You get one of those school buses that they were forced to retire, and you have yourself a really good vehicle to transport the children. That's another option that you have, which I think are the best ones. You know, so you can either hire somebody out there, and then, or you can purchase your own vehicles and run them up. And as I said earlier, you have to consult your attorney. But if you do that, then what you need to do is you may want to open up a separate corporation for that.
Okay.
As far as transporting the children, you know, I'm very, very, we're very disciplined with it, and we've done it for many times. We have a lot of checkpoints, and everybody has a buddy on the van. Before they go in, we prearrange the students before they go on the vehicles, so this way we know who is where at what time. Before they get off, we check. When they go back in, we check them. We're just doing a lot of checkpoints to make sure that we have all the students that we came with.
And no extras.
And no extra. Absolutely. That hasn't happened yet, but I'd like to see that one happen.
Oh, be careful what you wish for.
That's right. That's right.
Eric from Gainesville has a great question.
Okay.
He said he's got 95 students, and how many of his students can he expect on average to attend his first summer camp?
That depends on how well he promotes them and his enthusiasm and excitement to it. It's hard to say, but I think it is very, very, very safe having about 100 students that you should be easily be able to get 10% of them into a summer camp program. And I'd like to say even more. But, it's almost better it's probably almost easier a little bit because you have such a personal relationship with each of those families because you have 95 students that you really could show them the value of the summer camp. So maybe it could be 25%. I mean, it really depends on your enthusiasm and on your excitement about how successful it's going to be. But also, you have to know that, like we said earlier, you're exploring a whole different area of potential members. So don't just, my recommendation is, yes, you want to promote within your students, that's your core group, but don't limit yourself to that. You know, at that seminar, we're going to go over many ways to market that program to help you bring in other students, bring other students into your program beyond just your current students. And then you have so much more benefit that I can't explain. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay, great. I think it did.
Good.
Master Winfred Schneider from Ronkonkomo wants to know, what are the most practical hours for the camp?
Okay. What we do is, again, we provide a service for the families, for the parents who need to get to work early and have late pickup. Our main camp activities go from 9:30 in the morning till 5 in the evening. So it's a 7.5-hour camp, 9:30 to 5. Most summer camps let out at 3, 3:30. We extend it for them. So 9:30 to 5. We have early drop-off and late pickup available as early as 7:30 in the morning and as late as 6 o'clock at night. And we do that because, again, we provide that service for the families and the parents who work. For the students in the after-school program, that's a service we provide. For the parents who are not in the after-school program, we do charge an additional fee for the extended time.
Okay, great. Mark from Hillsborough wants to know if you can touch base on advertising angles to non-members for camp.
There's many, many different things that you can do. Again, I have to stress that's going to be a big part of our seminar to help you promote your camp. One of the great things you can do is really what we call VIP, right? You go out and you're talking about it in the community. You could do mailings. You know, we do monthly mailings to people in the community. You could take out the print ads, but the most cost-effective is just going out there and getting your staff out there and handing out flyers and talking about, you know, if you ever saw the movie Daddy Daycare with Eddie Murphy, I don't know if everybody saw that, but, I mean, it was awesome. How did they promote their daycare center? They went out and handed flyers out and this and that and this, and that's exactly what you do. It's low cost, and it definitely brings the students in because, again, you get to spread your enthusiasm about the program. But, I can't stress enough, you should definitely come to the seminar because there's a whole array of things that you can do, and there's actually a marketing plan that Master Fella and our organization has put together just for the purpose of summer camp.
What's good average pay for staff for camp?
Oh, very good question. That will really depend on the qualifications, on the community, on the enrollment. And myself and the other masters in the organization, I think we have similar philosophies on it, but some will pay more than others. Typically, if you have somebody new coming in as an employee, they'll get paid, so let's say $7.50 an hour, whatever the minimum wage is, to get them started at. If we have somebody who has the ability to teach classes, we will pay them extra for every class that they teach. That's how we've worked it. So this way, they're there for the time that they need to be. But if they needed more time, then we just add that. You know, if they teach the classes, they get a little paid extra. Also, they'll make a little extra money if per hour if they're CPR certified, because they went above and beyond what they need to do. Another thing that I've heard another instructor do with summer camp is that they would also rotate their staff every 4 or 5 hours. So nobody's working with the children for more than that time, so there's not burnout at all. And I've never done that because my staff has really always loved to work with them. However, if you have that kind of staff available, it may be recommended option for you. But definitely that's up to you. And it also, like, if you have 20 students in summer camp, then you shouldn't have 5 staff. If you have, 50 students in summer camp, then you should have 5-6 staff. So you just have to be very smart with the numbers with that.
Okay, thank you. Dale wanted to know if they need special liability insurance.
I remember that. Okay. As far as liability insurance, your insurance should be within the scope. Your martial arts insurance should be within the scope of your facility, of what you do with the summer camp. However, again, different areas have different rules. I would definitely check with your insurance person and maybe even check with your attorney to find out the details.
thank you so much for spending your time with us, and we really appreciate it. We're looking forward to that seminar.
Oh, thank you so much, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity. I think you guys are doing an incredible job.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to everybody next time.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.